football on off the ball.
We've always believed within this team, and look, we've learned the hard way sometimes. But look, we've got ourselves here, so we're focused on going out and, you know, making it a really competitive game, and hopefully we can come out on top.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Ireland take on France with the winner guaranteed a place at next summer's World Cup. The FAI looks set to move Ireland's home game with Israel in the Nations League to a neutral venue. And with just 2 days to go until the World Cup, we get the thoughts of Tim Vickery, Philippe Auclair and John Bruin. But first, Ireland are just one win away from a place at next summer's World Cup in Brazil. Carlo Ward's side play France in Grenoble tonight in their final group game. The girls on green will be full of confidence after last Friday's 3-2 win over the Netherlands in Cork. And though a win tonight would see them finish top of the group, goalkeeper Courtney Brosnan says they're in a great position.
Yeah, it feels amazing. I think obviously we've said it a million times, being in League A is where we want to be. But as you said, when you're in League A, the competition and the quality of teams is right there at the top, and that's who we want to be playing against. So I think it's unbelievable, obviously, what we've been able to do to be in this position, and we're looking to continue that on Tuesday.
Manager Carla Ward says the team can be proud no matter what happens tonight.
First of all, no matter what happens tomorrow night, this group can be incredibly proud of what we've achieved so far, and that is number one, and it's important that we don't lose sight of actually the development of the group. Of course, we want to go and win the game. We wanted to win the game the other night, and we made sure we did. How big it would be, I think you would all agree, it would be one of the biggest sporting stories in world football, because no pot four team stays in League A, let alone wins two games and then wins three games and then wins the group. We've already written our own records, and this would be the biggest one, no doubt about it.
Ward added that she has huge belief in her players.
You know what I'm going to say, right? I think you all do, listening to me all year. I have a massive amount of faith and belief in this team, and like I keep saying, there's a reason I took over this national team, and it was, you know, what they stand for. And you never, someone asked me the other day, have you ever had to question a player in training? And this is the first group of players I don't think I've ever had to question an attitude, a mentality, a work rate, a desire, a character. I could go on. So yeah, I think I said it right early on when the groups came out. Everyone called it the group of death, and we saw it as an opportunity for this group to show what they're about. And look, like I keep saying, they deserve an awful lot of credit because they're showing it in abundance, by the way.
Denise O'Sullivan and Emily Murphy are both available once again after missing the win over the Dutch due to suspension. Former Ireland international Louise Quinn joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night and debated if Murphy would come straight back into the starting 11 or would the impressive Abby Larkin get another go.
How different in terms of the style of player are Larkin and Murphy? Because we've seen the unbelievable quality that Emily Murphy has brought to her young Ireland career so far.
Yeah, that's the thing. They definitely have, you know, a lot of similarities. I think Emily likes to drop maybe just a little bit deeper to receive the ball. She likes to run at people. She'll come out, you know, really wide, link up down, you know, down that left-hand side, which I think has been really, really strong for us. Obviously, Katie there, Emily, you know, it's either Marissa might come over, Denise is there, and then you have Chloe Mustaki, who's, again, just having that left foot and bringing balance, but like such a quality, you know, left foot, that balance is really good there. And I just think Larko is, yeah, she's just technically fantastic. You know, she finds little gaps. She's maturing really well under pressure. You know, there was the moment, I think she was surrounded by three Netherlands players middle of the pitch, and you know, she still managed to get away and get a little pass out. So they are very similar, but I just think you know, you maybe just get a little bit more work rate out of Emily in terms of the work she does off the ball. She can naturally kind of drop into midfield, and she's been asked to do that in many games, whereas in, you know, Larko, just she really has that eye for goal and getting forward, and you know, the forward passes that she does to link the play. So again, it's one of those where you don't want to compare. You'd love, you know, hopefully there's times where the two of them will be on the pitch together and be able to link that through. But yeah, it does seem like it's a bit of a toss up, you know, between them. But again, I think both of them will have a massive impact on the game.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting tomorrow evening at around 7 o'clock to see how that team sheet actually does look.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. Kickoff in Grenoble is 8 o'clock, and we have live commentary of the game with Stephen Doyle and Kira Grant on Off the Ball. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock on News Talk and the Go Loud app. The FAI says it'll continue to meet to discuss the operational aspects of hosting Israel in the Nations League later this year. It's been reported the game at the Aviva on the 4th of October will be moved to a neutral venue pending UEFA approval. The two are also due to meet at a neutral venue for Israel's designated home game a week before the scheduled match in Dublin. A number of protests in Ireland have taken place, calling for the team to boycott the game, and last month's friendly with Qatar at the Aviva was stopped twice when tennis balls featuring the Palestine flag were thrown onto the pitch. The FAI confirmed earlier this year the team will fulfil the fixtures, but in a statement yesterday they said there would be no comment on any decision on this matter until after the board meeting scheduled for the 11th of June. They say they didn't want to take away from tonight's crucial World Cup qualifier for Ireland in France. Well, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says FIFA needs to deal with these issues and confirm the government won't get involved, and says it's up to the FAI to decide if the game is moved to a neutral venue.
FIFA really should determine and deal with these issues, because it's putting member states and countries involved under a lot of pressure, and the players under a lot of pressure, given what is happening. But there was a real concern that if the Irish team doesn't fulfil the fixture, that you damage Irish football for some time to come, and that's not a good outcome either.
Last night in the news round, Michael McCarthy joined Owen Sheehan and said it would be a huge statement if Ireland were to fulfil this fixture.
Football side of this is just so small, I would say, and we take sport probably as seriously as anybody, and its importance is, you know, absolutely huge. But like, this game probably should not be going ahead, and I say that as somebody that I've made the case on air a good few times that I do think the FAI are in an awful position, and that it shouldn't be a football association whose sole remit is the growth and protection of football in this country that have to make this decision, as opposed to governmental bodies who should be, I think, at least leading the way on this, right? Because ultimately the FAI have to be a turkey voting for Christmas if they go against this game, and they have to say we are going to risk serious sanction financially, whether it comes into our hosting of Euro 2028, whatever it might be. The world isn't going to stand with Ireland on this one the way we think they will, right? And I do believe that. So I don't think it's as simple as sometimes some of the Stop the Game people say. However, I kind of don't care. The game shouldn't be going ahead. This is not a team we should be playing right now in sport. And it was the same when basketball played them, and so on. But football is on a different level, and it's a far bigger statement for Ireland to line out against Israel in football.
That's available to listen back to now in your OTB daily podcast feed for free. Football Daily on Off the Ball, brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Now, in-form winger Michael Olise scored his first international hat-trick to send France to the World Cup with a 3-1 friendly win over Northern Ireland. That was also the last home game for Didier Deschamps as France manager. On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, broadcaster and journalist Philippe Auclair joined Keith Tracy and Adrian Barry and explained why this French team lacks balance.
Biggest headache is the fact that up front, France is quite magnificent. With, I think, the best player on the planet at the moment, Michael Olise, absolutely on fire. I hope you enjoyed his goals yesterday.
Oh my God, that third goal. Oh.
It's just insane. And, so up front, no problem. Even though, you know, Hugo Ekitike, who would normally have been, I think, a starter in that team, is unfortunately unavailable because of this very serious injury. But I think that it's not a very well-balanced team. And I know I'm throwing a dampener on things a little bit because everybody talks about France and Spain and maybe Portugal and maybe England. But I do think that the team that Deschamps is bringing to the US and Mexico and Canada is not as balanced as the ones that he took to Russia and Qatar. And the midfield, to me, looks a bit shallow in as much the players who are actually part of it don't seem to me to be quite of the quality. For example, think about the Pogba-Kante double pivot in Qatar, or the role that Antoine Griezmann played in midfield. Pogba and Kante in Russia, and the role that Antoine Griezmann played in Qatar. There is not that. And there is very little on the bench to actually, in terms of the midfield. I have doubts about that French defence, and particularly central defence, where players like Théo Upamecano and Konaté do not inspire me with great confidence. So I'm really throwing a dampener on things. And I think it is an unbalanced team. And we tend to be, I think perhaps our judgment or appreciation of it is biased because of the depth of talent and the astonishing talent that is available to Didier Deschamps up front, where, I think Ryan Cherki would be, a sure choice as a starter in almost every other team at the World Cup, but he will be on the bench. And you can carry on like that. There are quite a few players who would literally walk in almost any other international team, but will have to buy their time. Which is why I think that this is not going to be a picnic, starting with the group, which I think is much, much trickier than people might think.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. Arsenal's Jurrien Timber has left the Netherlands World Cup squad due to a groin injury. The Dutch defender made a comeback in the Champions League final last month for Arsenal, but has been replaced by Lutharel Hertrouda, who was on loan at Sunderland last season. Liverpool winger Cody Gakpo says losing Timber is a big blow.
Oh yeah, very big. I think everybody knows how good of a player he is, so it's a pity that he's going home.
England boss Thomas Tuchel's told his players they're at the World Cup to win it. The squad are preparing for their final warm-up game at Costa Rica tomorrow. 60 years on from winning the World Cup, this rallying cry from the German has been aired on England's YouTube channel.
The mission, why we are here, is very, very clear. We want to be world champions. We want to put the second star on our shirt.
Football writer John Bruin joined End the Call and Off the Ball Breakfast and said this English side could falter.
Selecting his squad, he chose the players that had done well for him. And there are a few strange selections in there. If it comes apart for England, and it will come apart for England, that's my expectation, there will be selections like Jordan Henderson, Dan Byrne, John Stones, that really have to prove themselves to get through this. Jordan Henderson hasn't played that much football, really, for Brentford towards the second half of the season. But he's brought in as the good tourist, again, a cricketing term. He's brought in because it is said, and this is what I understand, him and Jude Bellingham have a good relationship because it's about getting the best from someone like Jude Bellingham. I don't think at any point he was not going to select Bellingham. Bellingham is such a good player that you can't really leave him at home. But it's managing that situation. And Henderson is one of those people that can deal with Bellingham. It was interesting after the game on Saturday, Bellingham was captain for the second half. Bellingham came and him and Kane did the TV interview straight after. Now, Bellingham is fairly notorious for not doing interviews with the written press, but often does TV, and there is a bit of criticism. Again, we're talking press politics there.
Yeah.
As I said, it does turn on itself at a certain point. And maybe that's the exciting bit for you in Ireland, I'm not sure.
Well,
but
it's definitely part of the show of a World Cup, between that and Scotland's glorious failure. You know, it's something you can just set your watch to.
South American football expert Tim Vickery was also on the line to look ahead to the tournament from the Brazilian perspective. And he says there's a generation of Brazilian supporters who don't know what it feels like to win a World Cup.
Proving quite easy, I think, for people to separate that. Even though, and we've got elections coming up later this year, and the role of the United States is going to be a massive, massive issue in those elections. But even so, I think the World Cup is so important to Brazilian society that it's not difficult just to put all the or some of the politics just to one side and focus on the football. Because after all, it's been 24 years since Brazil won. And this is a birthright, you know. So there's a generation of Brazilians walking around now who don't know that feeling of being world champions. So that is the most important thing. Although, as I say, later on in the year with the elections, relationships with the United States is going to be a key subject.
Mm. What is that like for Brazilian fans? Because it's unthinkable and incomprehensible and something that they probably never thought would happen is to go this long. What's happened to Brazilian football over those 20 years that they just haven't been able to make it work on the world stage?
Well, it was 24 years the last time that the World Cup was in the United States. USA 94 ended a 24-year drought. I remember the World Cup supplement of one of the heavy English newspapers, and the big shout line was Brazil have to win now or they will lose their place as undoubted leaders of the global game. Well, maybe you can write the one up this time. This time seems even more serious, I think, than USA 94, just because although on the one hand, in so many aspects of global life, and see, my dog Didier Drogba, very very excited for the World Cup as well. In so many aspects of global life, Europe has become less relevant. In football, it's become more relevant. It really, really is, I think, striking that since they won last time in 2002, every campaign for Brazil has ended as soon as they've come up against a European team in the knockout stages of the competition. It's one of the reasons they've got a European in to help them beat them. Come on down, Mr. Carlo Ancelotti.
If you want to hear any of those pieces back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. Click follow in your podcast feed so you don't miss a thing. And ahead of a huge summer of football, you can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. A Somali referee who was said to become the first from his country to officiate at a World Cup has been denied entry to the US. FIFA confirmed Omar Artan, who was selected as one of the 52 referees for the tournament, will now be removed from its lineup. Artan was turned away at Miami Airport last weekend, despite possessing all the valid travel documents. Somalia is one of the countries on Donald Trump's travel ban list. FIFA says it isn't involved in host country immigration. Former England international Ian Wright has called out the decision.
I just read that the Somalian referee has been denied entry. Every few hours, it's another story. Another story about fans denied, players denied, officials denied, journalists denied. Now refs? You know something, I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It's actually not funny. Something has to be said. It's expensive tickets, the most expensive tickets ever. Expensive accommodation, transport through the roof. It has to be said. You know, is this how the hosts behave, really, for the greatest game? The greatest tournament in the world? Is this how the hosts behave? Are we not hearing more? Are we seeing how Qatar got dragged? Are we not hearing more? Is this the spirit of football? Really? You know who I feel for? I feel for the American fans who are desperate for this. American soccer fans who are desperate for this. How embarrassed they must be. How embarrassing for them this must be. This is, you know what? This is the World Cup. This is a World Cup of chaos. Whoever wins this World Cup is going to have to go through some serious, serious chaos to get this done. I hope we can do it. But something has to be said. Now, this is just like... This is the World Cup.
The Iranian Football Federation has said its ticket quota for the World Cup has been revoked just days before the start of the tournament. In a statement, the governing body claimed the allocation, which was being sold through their official website, was pulled. Under normal FIFA rules, 8% of ticket capacity of each match is allocated to the federations present in the World Cup, so fans of each country can purchase tickets. The Football Federation of Iran had started the process of selling tickets for their games against New Zealand, Belgium and Egypt through its official website. They say the US revoked the allocation, accusing the co-host of obstructing the attendance of Iranian supporters under the shadow of a bitter diplomatic row. The rising tensions between Iran and the US has already forced Iran to move its training base to the Mexican border city of Tijuana rather than Arizona as originally planned. Iran start their campaign against New Zealand in LA on the 15th of June. And FIFA president Gianni Infantino is the subject of a criminal complaint from his former boss at UEFA, Michel Platini. Platini, one of the most gifted footballers of the 1970s and 80s, had been favoured to replace Sepp Blatter as FIFA president in 2016 until the launch of an ethics probe into a payment he received from Blatter in 2011. Platini was banned for 8 years by FIFA's ethics committee in 2015, a sanction which was later reduced to 4 years by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Platini and Blatter also faced criminal proceedings regarding that payment. Both were acquitted by the Swiss Federal Criminal Court in 2022 and then by the Appeals Court in 2025. Now Platini has launched criminal and civil proceedings in the French courts over the matter, with Infantino one of the individuals named. The criminal complaint alleges that Infantino and others worked to exclude Platini from the race for the presidency of FIFA. The complaint alleges that Infantino was the one first and foremost seeking to achieve this. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.